You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, this is Paul Lazarus. In the 1980s, I produced and hosted a radio series called Anything Goes, a celebration of the American musical theater. Now, the Broadway Podcast Network is bringing back these shows. This two-part look at the work of writers Betty Comden and Adolph Green originally aired in 1986. Comden and Green are best known as the screenwriters of arguably the best film musical ever, Singing in the Rain. Here on Anything Goes, a look at their remarkable time on Broadway.
This is Anything Goes, a celebration of the American musical theater, past, present, and future. I'm your host, Paul Lazarus. Today, the second of two conversations with Betty Comden and Adolph Green, the writers whose 40-year career on Broadway has given us many of the American theater's greatest show tunes.
Just in time, I found you just in time, before you came my time. Was running low. Make someone happy. Make just one someone happy. Make just one heart the heart you sing to.
When you think you've hit the bottom and you're feeling really low, you mustn't be discouraged. There's always one step further down you can go.
New York is 16 hours. Anything can happen in those 16 hours. On that mighty ride, the mighty miracle of engineering.
The 20th century.
The party's over. It's time to call it a day. No matter how you pretend, you knew it would end this way. It's time to wind up.
Bells Are Ringing, the 1956 musical hit by Comden and Green and composer Julie Stein, was written to showcase the talents of their old friend, Judy Holliday. Comden and Green racked their brains to come up with the right role for her.
We sat around a long time trying to come up. We wanted to write an original. We tried to get an idea. And then it was one of those accidents of happening to glance at the back of a New York telephone directory and seeing an ad for the answering service there with the girls sitting, answering switchboard. And she seemed like, what, a new modern heroine. And I said to Adolph, well, I didn't have an answering service. I said, you have an answering service. What's it like? Where is it? And he said, well, I've never been there. I said, well, why don't we find out where it is and go at least and look at an answering service, see what they look like. And we found out that it was right around the corner from Adolph's house.
It turned out to be a little brownstone.
You know, really?
And
much like what you saw on stage, actually.
And
finally,
we walked in. There was a nice, plump lady sitting there. And she lifted the phone and said, Gloria Vanderbilt's residence.
And,
We knew
an idea was born.
A sad story, girls, but it need not have happened. Perhaps during the time you were out, he called, but no one was there to answer your telephone. Don't let the same thing happen tomorrow night.
But what can we do?
Subscribe to an answering service. Use Susansaphone.
Susansaphone?
Yes, it gives and takes your messages as it does for business executives, doctors, and theater celebrities on New York's Smart East Side. Now, this is what can happen when you subscribe to Susansaphone.
Hello?
This is your answering service?
Yes.
While you were out, the agency called. You've got the job.
Oh!
And your lawyer called. Your uncle left you all his money in his will.
Oh!
And he called. And I gave him your message, so he's waiting for you right now.
Oh, thank you, Susansaphone.
Did you expect Just in Time to be the hit of that score?
Just in Time.
Tell the story. Yeah.
Well, Just in Time was a hit around town before it had any words, because Julie was playing da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da, and singing just those words to it. No, the idea came, we were looking for a simple love song. Adolf said something about, what about the humans kinds of songs that are based on two notes or three notes or very simple melodies, and Julie said, you mean like this, you know, and then he started to play it. And he played it from beginning to end. So suddenly there was a melody, and we had no place for it, had no title. It was just that, as I say, it was da-da-da, and a big smash at parties for a long time.
And he did it as da-da-da at parties.
Oh, yeah, he sang it as da-da-da, and everyone loved it. And we thought we could never match that, possibly, as a lyric, but... finally, and as most things happen in musicals, it came out of the book. The situation arrived when we were writing the book of the heroine saving the hero from despair and disaster. And we said, and we were looking for a place to put this song. And we thought of the phrase, just in time, which fitted da-da-da.
Just in time. I found you just in time. Before you came, my time was running low. I was lost, the losing dice were tossed. My bridges all were crossed, nowhere to go. Now you're here, and now I know just where I'm going. No more doubt or fear, I found my way. For love came just in time, you found me just in time, and changed my lonely life that lovely day.
Judy Holliday is so extraordinary. I mean, when you think of The Party's Over, it's hard to almost disassociate her. I'm sure a lot of people have recorded it, obviously, yes. But there's something magical about the response of the song to her voice and vice versa.
Yes. Well, it's a simple thing. Judy was a genius. And, she was an extraordinary actress and extremely musical. And The Party's Over, it's interesting you mentioned that, because actually Judy said, look, I'll do anything in the show but sing a straight ballad. Because, you know, we had come from the world, you know, the review was doing satirical songs and all that, and she said, I can do comedy material and I'll do anything.
We said, Judy, we've stood around piano so many years and you've sung so many songs, ballads, wonderfully.
So I couldn't get up and sing it in front of people. But we knew one thing about Judy, that she loved to sing harmony parts, obble-gobble, she called them. She'd do great obligatos to everybody else's singing, you know, in a high or a low or ranging voice. Obligato. And she loved to do that around the piano and so forth. When we wrote The Party's Over, it was presented to her this way as the harmony part of something that would be sung, and could she learn it?
And it would accompany the melody.
This was not the melody. She wouldn't have to worry. She wouldn't have the melody. She learned this as a harmony part, and she learned it, and she sang it, And we said, well, don't tell us you can't sing this, because you can.
That's some mean obble-gobble.
As a matter of fact, she sang it so subconscious. She sang it facing the wall so that we wouldn't look at her. She sang it.
The party's over. It's time to call it a day. No matter how you pretend, you knew it would end. It's time to wind up the masquerade. Just make your mind up. The piper must be paid. The party's over. The candles flicker and dim. Dance and dream through the night. It seemed to be right just being with him. Now you must wake up. All dreams must end. Take off your makeup. The party's over. It's all over.
The musical Subways Are for Sleeping in 1961 was suggested by a book about people who live in the New York City subways.
It's not a novel. It's separate sketches about these different people's lives, these people who live these strange minimal existences and just get along.
It included the girl in the towel. And
the fellow, and they don't. And the fellow, so your job is to weave them together.
Oh, they had they had no connection. There's no plot to Subways for Sleeping. They're separate little vignettes about various people and how they live on the subways and
so the challenge
doing
was
various
get,
things
get them
to make a story of it. It was a monumental job, which is yet to be done.
We read the book recently.
The book of the show.
The book of the show. Yes, our book. And we were pleased. It was much better than we remembered it.
You wouldn't think in this age of Social Security and unemployment insurance that people can get lost. But it's true. They still do. They can still get lost. It's true. Right under your eyes, all around the city, right under your eyes, all around the city. You wouldn't think in this age of psychoanalysis and modern housing developments that people can get lost, but it's true, they still do, they can still get lost, it's true. Right under your eyes, all around the city, right under your eyes, all around the city. While you busy bees are busy, busy buzzing in your hives, we are busy, busy leading our peculiar lives. Solid folk, we look so neat and bright. We take no handouts, all we need is enough to eat and a place to sleep at night. Subways are for sleeping, and so are so many others.
Fade Out, Fade In, a satire of Hollywood in the 30s, starred Carol Burnett. At one point in the show, she impersonates Shirley Temple and sings, "You Mustn't Be Discouraged."
When you think you've hit the bottom and you're feeling really low, you mustn't be discouraged. There's always one step further down you can go. When you're lying in the gutter, feeling nothing good. Just remember when that old raindrop started the Johnstown flood in Pennsylvania. When you're living on a park bench, eating grass 'cause you know dough, your luck will change manana. You may be 6 feet under helping it grow, so just remember
Hallelujah Baby, the next Comden Green Stein musical, dealt with the provocative subject of race relations.
I guess we were being, in a sense, daring, because we, none of us are black. We felt there was an important show to write. Mm-hmm. And also we wanted there to be a show. There weren't shows around then with black entertainers on stage. Mm. And we thought, my God, it's a natural. There's so much talent around which isn't being used.
Mm-hmm. I want a doa that belongs to me. I want a bed that belongs to me. I want to know when I climb into bed, I wake up in my own morning. A morning that really belongs to me. I want a flower that belongs to me. I want a chair that belongs to me. I wanna know when I rock in that chair, I look up at my own ceiling.
Leslie Uggams singing My Own Morning from Hallelujah Baby.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
You're listening to Anything Goes with Paul Lazarus. Comden and Green joined forces with composer Cy Coleman to create the hit musical On the 20th Century, based on the famous play of the 30s.
Most of the time we were sitting around trying to think of something, and it was our idea to musicalize 20th Century.
Yes, and we talked Cy into it. We're always a little reluctant when we do an adaptation. We always feel, why a thing works so well in the original? Who needs this? But we felt we had to do a show. And finally, we really started happily embarking on it one day when we realized that it shouldn't be just a musical pastiche of the early 30s, but that the two characters were larger than life and extravagant creatures. And we sort of, one day, Cy said, "You mean something like this?" He started playing something very Rossini-ish. Said, "Yes, that's it. That's what the whole show's got to be."
That kind of comic,
a comic opera feeling.
Right.
Because once we
right.
got that yeah. feeling, right. we plunged in and had a wonderful time.
Saddle up the horse without delay. Ship ahoy, we sail at break of day. Ours not to question, ours not to reason, ours to obey. Back at the hotel, I'll keep busy at the desk. I'll sneak the bags out the back, right. Let down the drawbridge while you keep the motor racing. Maybe we'll have to swim the river. Working for Jaffe, though continually bracing, also destroys the heart and liver. What's new today? We're gonna sneak away through a shower of rotten eggs with our tails between our legs on the 20th century, the 20th century, in drawing room.
But I remember one night working on the 20th century, and we got the idea for Life is Like a Train, and we saw the four porters, and we also saw it as a kind of finale. It never worked out that way, but we thought it might be a finale for the show.
We thought of it originally as a finale, like the
Falstaff.
Falstaff. Yeah.
That's funny.
But we just thought of the utter absurdity of it.
Wasn't it Robert Fulton who said, "Life is like a train"? No, it wasn't. He said, "Life is like a boat." Wasn't it Isaac Newton who said, "Life is like a train"? No, it wasn't. He said, "Life is like an apple." Wasn't it Lord Chesterfield who said, "Life is like a train"? No, it wasn't. He said, "Life is like a coat." Then who said it? Who said it?
We did. We did. Ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ho. Life is like a train. Life is like a train. And aren't we lucky to be making the ride together? Life is like a train.
A Doll's Life in 1982 was an adventurous Comden and Green musical that explored the life of Ibsen's heroine, Nora, after she slammed the door.
Every show is a new experience, you know, and this was a completely new experience because we were prepared inwardly for a mixed press, you know, a divided press. You know, we felt something like that is bound to happen, and, and we rarely delude ourselves about things like that. We just, you keep your fingers crossed, that's all. And so we weren't prepared for the
hatred.
Rather,
it's not as if the critics would start by saying, here's a show with a lot of faults, but, and then say some of the good things. They had nothing good to say about
yeah.
it. There's a song, Learn to Be Lonely, in the score, and now when Adolph and I do a party, I sing this song. Not a performance goes by that we don't get letters about it, or phone calls, or somebody wants to know where they can get the music. It is something that really impresses people and moves them.
Make a new start, like a new chick, scratching, fighting, cracking out of its egg. Shake your wet feathers dry, straighten that wobbly leg. Take a solitary stance or a solitary dance and learn to be lonely. Make a new life like a new star, twinkling, sparkling, burning, glad to be born. Shine alone in the sky, feeble but not forlorn, getting brighter every hour to a million candle power, and learn to be lonely. Why do you need to search for a face to look into to find your reflection? The warm kisses that blanket the cold can't guarantee protection. Why be afraid to wake in the night with no head on the pillow beside you, with no hand you can reach for to hold? Your secret self must guide you. Use your time alone to grow strong and discover the hidden being within you. Make a new you, like a new sun, whirling, spinning, rolling free through the skies. Like a lone butterfly, open your wings and rise. Worse than being on your own is to mate and feel
You've had probably one of the longest, if not the longest, successful collaboration in, as far as I know, musical theater history. I mean, first of all, how do you do it? How do you still keep writing together and keep working together?
Well, we used to give the answer, simple fear kept us together.
Fear and hunger.
Being alone and hunger. It worked well, so we thought, why not do it again? And then we kept on working together. We meet every day, and we're friends. It's gone on and on.
Yeah, we still are.
Yeah.
And we're
many
anxious to make
more
good.
Life is
like a train.
Life is like a train.
Life is like a train.
Life is like a train.
Life is
not like an apple.
Life is like a train.
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 Life is like a T.
Life is like an R.
Life is like an A.
Life is like an
N. Life is like a train.
Life is not a boat.
Life is like a train.
Life is not a boat.
Life is like a train.
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 Life is like a train,
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 there's always a light at the end of the tunnel, there's always something new round the bend, but this is our philosophy and this is shall remain.
You've been listening to the conclusion of a two-part look at the careers of book writers and lyricists Betty Comden and Adolph Green. Sound mixing by David Rapkin. Associate producer Jeff London. Anything Goes, Backstage with Broadway's Best, is produced and hosted by Paul Lazarus. For more information and bonus materials, visit anythinggoespl.com. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate and follow us. Thanks for listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.